Workbook, Unit 5, page 47. Extra listening. Who's laughing now? You are going to hear a lecture in which the speaker shares the secrets of his joke-telling success. Listen and answer the questions.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here tonight to share some of my professional secrets with you. Telling a joke can be a risky business, and I should know. My insurance premiums have more than doubled in the past year. But seriously, I'm sure most of you have had the embarrassing experience of telling a joke only to find your audience not at all amused, or worse yet, laughing at you instead of the joke. Let me share with you a few of the things I've learned from my experience as a professional comedian. Most of us have had the awful experience of being on the receiving end of a joke. When this happens, you feel embarrassed, humiliated, and resentful towards the person who told the joke, as well as towards all the people who are laughing at the joke and at you. This is an example of what we call caustic humour, which is used to put someone else down or to exclude them from the group. It's called caustic humour because it's harsh and it hurts. Children and teenagers often use this type of hurtful humour, though it can also be seen amongst adults too. In contrast to caustic humour, there's what we call compassionate humour. Compassionate humour helps bridge the gaps between people. It breaks the tension and increases positive feelings. However, sometimes when you tell a joke, you might start out with the intention of using compassionate humour, but end up with the joke being interpreted as caustic. So you might find yourself offending or hurting the person who hears your joke unintentionally. So, first of all, before telling a joke, you have to ask yourself, could the subject matter of this joke be offensive? It's very important to choose a joke that won't offend any of the listeners. By listening to their conversation, you can often tell if there are any subjects that might be taboo, like sexist, racist, or political jokes. Secondly, you have to think about their intellectual level, that is, their age and maturity in terms of the subject matter and the intellectual demands of the joke. If your listeners are too young, they won't get it. If they're too old, you might end up annoying them, as well as embarrassing yourself. Thirdly, you have to pay attention to your listeners' mood. Will they be receptive to the joke, or will they find it annoying? By learning to recognize the subtle clues I'm about to give you, you'll be able to sense how receptive your audience will be. Watch their eyes. Are they looking at you? Do they seem interested or are they distracted by things around them? And be sure to check out their body language and facial expressions. Do you feel welcome or do you get the feeling that you're intruding? But besides all the things I've already mentioned, telling a joke takes a certain amount of skill, of course. While you're telling the joke, you have to build up the tension and make sure that the audience is listening. Don't rush. Take your time. The greater the tension build-up, the more relief there'll be in the laughter. Also, make sure to listen to their laughter. You need to learn to recognize the differences between different kinds of laughter. For example, there's nervous or tense laughter. This is quite high-pitched and sounds as if it's coming from the top of a person's head, like this. On the other hand, polite but insincere laughter is hollow and from the throat. Laughter coming from the heart area indicates that the listeners enjoyed the humour. You know, it sounds like this. And the jackpot goes to the booming that comes from the stomach area. It tells you that your listeners thoroughly enjoyed the joke and are open to more humour. So go ahead, give it a try. But don't worry if you don't have the knack of telling a joke. It's okay to be the laugher instead of the joker. Your job is to spread laughter to all those around you just by laughing.